With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
He's one of the best race riders in the country. He does it for the Daily Racing Form. Dave Greinich joins us here on CBS Sports Radio. How are you, David?
I'm doing well, Jody, and you?
Very good. Before we get to the Belmont itself, the card yesterday here in New York, as many Grade 1 winners as they had, Grade 1 races run, horses coming in that had won Grade 1s elsewhere, I thought, and short of a Breeders' Cup, it was one of the more impressive cards I had ever seen on paper before they actually went out there and raced. Did they live up to it?
They did. You know, I was talking to somebody about this a little earlier. There are some really, really good horses in training right now. They may not be the three-year-olds that most of the public looks at, but when you look at a horse like Matoli, who won the Met Mile for his seventh straight win, a horse like Bricks and Mortar, who's won four races this year, three seven-figure purses, is 9-for-11 in his career. Rushing Fall, a filly who won the Just the Game, a filly going a mile on turf, 8-for-9. She lost her one race by a neck. World of Trouble is a Grade 1 winner on turf and dirt in the span of 2 months. There are some really, really Garana, a filly who won the Grade 1 race in her second career start, who Chad Brown is comparing to Ghost Zapper, a very talented older male horse who was the father of Garana, who ran for Bobby Frankel when Chad was his assistant in the early 2000s. Just some really, really nice horses that we have to look forward to for the second half of the year.
Yeah, those were impressive performances by the horses that you just ran down. Let me point to one in particular, Matoli. You mentioned winning the Met Mile yesterday and impressively had the fastest buyer of anybody who competed yesterday on this superstar card that they had. Yet I don't believe he was the best horse in the race. I actually thought McKenzie was. Mike Smith's a Hall of Famer, so I'm second-guessing one of the all-times. But I thought he gave the horse a bad ride, indecision, in the stretch, took up not once but twice. If the jockey had given him any kind of a ride, I think McKenzie actually stops the Matoli winning streak. Agree or disagree?
I'm not sure. Yes, he had trouble. I'm not disagreeing with you on that front. I don't know if he gets there or not. I think Matoli might have had some more left to him. Now, that's a one-turn mile. If you get like when you go to Saratoga and we get to the Whitney, if the mile and eighth, if Matoli were to run there, I wouldn't want him against. I may not want him against McKenzie going that far, but I think Matoli. A lot of people, two or three other people, have mentioned that to me as well. That they thought the best horse was McKenzie. I thought the best horse was Matoli. He chased a fast pace, put away a nice horse, and then held off the cavalry charge. Even yes, granted that McKenzie had some trouble, but again, three really nice horses in that race because Thundersnow, who was third, who I don't think really is a miler. I thought he ran very well.
Fair enough. Matoli going to go back to sprinting? You mentioned the possibility of going past a mile. Do you really think they'll go there with him?
No, I don't think they will, but it's probably tantalizing to find out. I think, when you win a race like the Met Mile and now seven in a row, you basically have cemented yourself as a stallion prospect. And I think once that deal is made, and I would anticipate a deal for him as a stallion would be made between now and August 1st, the Whitney being August 3rd, I think then you sort of, whatever's in that deal that might make it more intriguing or worth more money, hey, here's a kicker, here's another million if he wins this, or here's another whatever if he wins that, that might dictate what he does. But if the trainer probably wants to stay, if it's not broken, let's not break it. Let's look at the one-turn mile race. Let's look at the one-turn races. And in Saratoga, there's two good options, a race called the Vanderbilt, which is a Grade 1 at 6 furlongs on July 27th, and a Grade 1 called the Forgo on Saratoga on their next big card, Breeders' Cup card, which is the Traverse Day card on August 24th.
Understood. What do you think Baffert does with McKenzie? He's probably going to take him back out to the West Coast, but I've got to believe he's going to stretch him out. He looks like a horse who can go a mile on an eighth to me, which would put him into the mix for potential Breeders' Cup championship material.
Yeah, I talked to him about an hour ago. He is going to go back to California, and he mentioned, Bob's not one to commit too soon, but he did mention the Whitney as a race that intrigued him. And Thunder Snow, they've already said they're coming back for the Whitney. He left either today or tomorrow, goes back to England to train, and then he'll come back for the Whitney. So you could get the second and third place finishers who are separated by a neck going into Whitney, and then we'll have to see what, Mottoli does.
All right, let's talk about the Belmont Stakes. I had Mark Cassie on earlier, and I told him I thought he got some really good karma for the way he handled himself. You were the one who told me about how he handled himself on Kentucky Derby Day the day after that Tyler Gaffalione said he wanted to put up a jockey's objection for the interference that was called in the Kentucky Derby. Mark Cassie said, no, we finished eighth. It's not going to affect us at all. I don't think we should do this in the Kentucky Derby. Well, karma came back in bundles for him, winning both the Preakness and the Belmont Stakes. Did you think before the race started that the race set up for the type of runner that Sir Winston is?
I didn't. That was my big concern with him. I thought he ran a very credible race in the Peter Pan. And as we talked about before, I think when we were talking about after the Preakness, like what horses would you look at for the Belmont, I thought maybe we talked about how this horse wouldn't get the same setup as he got in a one-turn mile and an eighth where they go a rapid pace. And I didn't necessarily think he would be effective if he would employ the same style in this race as he did that one. They were a little bit closer to the pace, which was moderate. It wasn't fast, but it was moderate. And credit Joel Rosario with giving him, first of all, credit Ron Anderson, his agent, with choosing to ride this horse as opposed to Everfast, who he was second on in the Preakness. And then credit Joel Rosario for giving this horse a very nice ride, being able to save ground for as long as he was able to save ground, then tip out and get the jump on Tacitus, who was not able to save ground. You talk about Mike Smith's ride. I'm sure people who were back to Tacitus were not necessarily thrilled with Jose Ortiz's ride, riding basically a mile and three quarters in a mile and a half race.
They did go a little wide. Let me follow up on something you just put out there. You mentioned Joel Rosario's agent, Ron Anderson. Him making the decision as to who Joel would ride, because he did ride Everfast in the Preakness and decided to go with Sir Winston, made the right call. How much influence does the agent really have? The way you stated it, maybe just the way you said it, sounded like Ron Anderson decides and Joel does whatever Ron Anderson says. I know the relationships between players and agents. What's the difference here between jockeys and agents? How much influence does a jockey's agent actually have?
Well, in this particular case, Ron Anderson is one of the sharpest guys out there, handicappers / agents. And I'm sure that he gave Joel the information that Joel needed to make maybe the final decision in terms of which horse to ride. Now, the other thing here is he rode Sir Winston a week before he rode Everfast. And when he rode Sir Winston, I don't even think he knew who Everfast was, because Everfast hadn't even committed to the Preakness yet. Everfast was a 11th hour addition to the field, and Dale Romans, the trainer, was probably like, who's going to be there? Who I need a rider? Oh, Joel, that's great. So I think he had a good enough feeling about the way Sir Winston had run in the Peter Pan over this track to say, you know what, that's my Belmont horse, even when Everfast ran as well as he did in the Preakness. He might have even already made that commitment before he even ever sat on Everfast.
Was there any horse that came out of the Belmont yesterday where you said, all right, the finishing time, the finishing placing doesn't look good, but I actually think he was better than that, and a horse you'd keep an eye on going forward for the rest of the year?
I'll give Spinoff, and now maybe this is Spinoff was my pick in the race, and I would give him maybe another chance in a race that's a little shorter than the mile and a half. I think this horse needs to get into a rhythm of racing where he gets something out of it. He started the year in a race in Tampa where he just won so easily. He gets to Louisiana and maybe he was just a touch short, but he ran very well that day. He gets to the Kentucky Derby and he catches a sloppy track that he just absolutely hated. ran a was running respectably yesterday, and then kind of, you know, dropped out of it in the last eighth of a mile or so. He only got beat 3 1/4 lengths or so. I would give him another chance in you know, I would look at him in another race, depending on the field, if he's in it, as we get to the summer when you start looking at the races like the Haskell, Jim Dandy, and maybe ultimately the Travis.
All right, let's talk about some of those races. I did talk to Mark Cassie earlier, and he said he is pointing both Sir Winston and War Will toward the Travers. Hadn't quite decided how he's going to get there yet, but that's the eventual goal for each of these horses in their next big race. We know the Haskell is going to have Game Winner coming back out from the West Coast and probably your Kentucky Derby winner, or at least finish first under the wire, Maximum Security. The one thing we haven't heard anything on yet was Country House and what Bill Mott's plan would be. If we've got a couple horses out of the three-year-old group this year heading north to New York for Saratoga, a couple heading south to Monmouth for Jersey, where's Country House heading?
Well, Country House is currently at Churchill Downs. He just recently restarted training again. He's galloping. He hasn't had an official workout yet, and I doubt he will have one until he gets to Saratoga, which will probably be within 2 weeks. He got ill after the Kentucky Derby and missed some time. And the goal, the goal for all these horses is to try and get to the Travers. I would think that Country House would need a start before then, maybe even more so than a Tacitus, who's gotten, you know, he ran in 2/3 of the Triple Crown, maybe even more so than a War of Will. I mean, I don't know that they need to run War of Will in a prep for the Travers. He just ran in all three Triple Crown races. So I think the goal is for Country House and Tacitus and War of Will and Sir Winston, Maximum Security. You mentioned Game Winner, who I don't think is going to go to the Haskell, because I don't know that they would run him against Maximum Security, you know, for the same team there, you know, the both of owned by Gary West. The ideal scenario is to get all these horses that were in the Derby and then scattered after that to get to the Travers at Saratoga on August 24th. I think that would be the ideal objective here.
Does the moving up of the Haskell make that more amenable this year?
Trainers seem to like their more time between races. So whereas in the past, the Haskell used to be, a day less than the Jim Dandy. Now it's a week earlier. So, yeah, I think if you're able to run in the Haskell, it gives you another week, 5 weeks to the Travers as opposed to 4 out of the Jim Dandy. Now, Maximum Security is supposed to run next Sunday in the race called the Pegasus at Monmouth Park. He's probably going to have a workout either Tuesday or later in the week at Monmouth, and then use the Pegasus as a way to get to the Haskell and then make it get to, from the Haskell to the Travers thereafter. So if all these horses can either get a prep in or just get themselves healthy and on the right track, you could have a very interesting and very divisional, impacting Travers thing.
Fair enough. And all these horses and all these races we just meant are yet to be competed in. To this point, as we sit here today, and this is one of the points where you do take an overall picture, this three-year-old group, we've had a couple Triple Crown winners over the last several years. We've had years where they've been won by three separate horses like they have this year. The story is yet to be written, but I'm asking you to write a little preview here. How good, bad, or indifferent is this three-year-old group in your mind?
You know, I've been disappointed because I went into the Derby thinking that this could be a good group. Like this could be, you know, they could be fast and there could be some really real talent here. The Derby kind of got thrown off kilter even earlier in the week when Omaha Beach, how about that name? We haven't even talked about him. He was a Derby favorite, and he's in the Witness Protection Program. I think he's back with Mandela out there, or is about to soon join Mandela. I'm not really sure. He went to the farm after he had a little throat issue. But when he got scratched and then the whole disqualification with Maximum Security, it's really, I don't have a good line on this three-year-old group. I want to still think that there's some talent in here, but with each passing race, I start to wonder if maybe it's not as good as I had sort of hoped and thought it would be.
I'll give
it a big incomplete right now.
I can give you some information on Omaha Beach. I talked to Gary Mandela, Richard's son, Friday here on CBS Sports Radio. After the procedure that he had, he needed to stay in Kentucky because they had better facilities for him to rehab with. He needed to be in a pool, as a matter of fact, Gary told me, and they didn't have that out in California where they were going to ship him back. So they kept him in Kentucky a longer period of time than they had planned to, but the horse is finally good enough for them to ship back to California. But they're absolutely planning on coming back east. Would not be surprised if they go in the Pennsylvania Derby, and they use that as a prep for the Breeders' Cup.
I was wondering, actually, if thanks. I'm glad you got that information. I was wondering if maybe they would actually look at the Alan Jerkins on the undercard of the, which is 7 furlong race, Grade One for 3-year-olds, on the same day as the Travers, and then we shift to the Pennsylvania Derby, and then you, if you get all these horses that I was talking about for the Travers, get them back in the Pennsylvania Derby. Maybe that's the divisional impacting race that we'd like to see in September. But that could be fun too. If you got Omaha Beach and the Travers, the Alan Jerkins, and then all these other horses in the Travers, and then we all join up again at Parks on September 20, whatever it is, I can't remember.
No, I know a lot of people in Philadelphia would like to hear that.
Oh, yeah.
Dave, good stuff. Appreciate you coming on board. Thanks for doing it all year. We're going to touch base when a couple of the big summertime races run around. Thanks much for giving us the insight today.
Okay, Jody, thank you.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.